On the advice of their lawyers and also their doctors, Off the Perch Podcast would like to inform all listeners that the opinions expressed in these recordings are solely personal and do not reflect the views of any organizations they are associated with. As such, if you are offended by any content herein, please contact Off the Perch directly and they will be addressed live on the next show.
This is Off the Perch, a New York Red Bulls supporters podcast.
This is it, what? Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich, what? The Jiki finds a sugar dime, can't quit, what? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit, what?
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Off the Perch. It's Steve.
It's Chris.
It's Pat.
And, yeah, we got a lot of recap to do, don't we?
We have to recap the last seven games of the regular season, and then the game against Charlotte FC, where Elias Manuel went on a tear, and then the best of three, because you know the MLS Cup playoffs is just the paramount way to determine a champion of a league.
We should have thought of this earlier, but we totally could have written a version of We Didn't Start the Fire. That's just like recapping everything that happened.
We should have done that.
We should have.
It would have been
better than that Fallout Boy one.
Oh yeah, that was really bad.
Wow, it was
terrible. There was a one moment when you guys messaged me to like record an episode where I was like, "Holy shit, we're actually like gonna is off the Perch isn't dead." And then I was just like, yeah, "I should get a guitar so I can do the question time properly." But then I was like, "I'm not gonna learn the notes for that, yeah, even though it's probably simple."
Yeah, I told Larissa, like, when we were on our way to RBA, I was like, oh, by the way, like, we're recording tonight after I get home. She's like, what? How? What? What? And I was like, yeah, like, I was like, fuck it. And I messaged the chat. I was like, hey, you guys want to record? It was like, yeah, I could do Thursday. Okay,
and then, cool. And then I quickly released a trailer, and then now we're here.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, the last time we recorded, by the way, this is episode 129. Episode 128 was released on August 30th, 2023. The name of that episode was The Circus Left Town, and it was recorded after we lost 2-0 to Inter Miami. The game that completely cursed my love for my undying love for this club and this sport. There's a void where that once was. It can probably grow back. But yeah, that was, we talked about it that episode, but that was so bad that we just essentially put the show on hiatus.
Yeah.
It was not. Yeah. And then we made it into the playoffs because fucking the one time Lucchinius falls down in the penalty box, they actually give him a penalty. And it's just like, you're not doing this to us. Like, why are you doing this?
Did you guys see the animated playoff line graphic?
No, I did not.
So somebody posted it, like they posted one for the East Coast and one for the Western Conference. And if you watch it and just watch us, we literally at no point in the season were above the playoff line until that penalty kick.
Oh my God.
The entire season, 30 seconds left, and it was like, fuck you, we're in.
I just, oh God. I remember tweeting, I think it was after like the last five games of the season, we like lost one game, and that one game we lost, I think it was against Cincy, if I remember correctly.
No, like, we beat them.
We did? Then I don't remember the team we lost to in that stretch. There was a stretch at the end of the season where we like won five games and we lost one, and that one game we lost was like, all right, finally, thank God, like the season's over, the playoff streak's done. Like wholesale change is going to happen, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Me thinking like
we're Philly.
Yeah, it was maybe. Because I just thought we were mathematically eliminated. And then after the fact, I'm just like, oh, wait, we're still in it. But there's no way we're going to fucking like beat like Nashville in the last game of the season. And then it happened. And I'm just like, you fucking assholes.
Yep. That's when I thought something? I was out. They pulled me back in.
Yeah, literally. I was just like, God.
I can't believe you guys remember all this.
Yeah, it's still there.
I mean, pretty much everything except for the Miami game after the Van Zier incident is a total wash for me.
Just a wash, yeah.
I don't remember anything. I have the Wikipedia of our fixture list from last season pulled up, and I don't remember any of these games happening ever.
I don't remember like individual games. Last season was all just one big from the start of the season, and then the Van Zier incident was the spike of just outright hatred I had for this club, and then that just kind of plateaued throughout the rest, and now it's still there. It's not maybe not as high, but it's still pretty high. And then, then playoffs happened and we got eliminated. And then they started making announcements. Yoshin and the Grand Prix were just like, we made the playoffs, but we weren't very happy with how we performed, and we're gonna invest a lot. And then they let go of Troy, let go of Hamlet. This is the recap, by the way. This is how we're gonna do it. And then that stuff happened, and then nothing. Oh, and then they did announce Sancho, and then they announced Forsberg, and then kind of nothing else really happened for a while, and now we're here. And now the first game of the season is 4 days away, and we've signed four players.
And one of them was a homegrown, and another was a draft pick.
Yeah, and then the two actual European players, one of them has the same agent as Emil Forsberg, and people will come back to me and be like, "Oh, that's not the same. They maybe scouted him." Okay, I don't care.
They also didn't they just sign some Danish guy?
They signed Gengar. Yeah, that Gengar kid.
Jorgensen too.
He's gonna be some under 22 initiative player.
I don't know. It's just clear that they really want VA to be the Hans Bakke Viking army again.
That's what, yeah, they're going back to it's 2012 again. Just bring back Bakke and Solaire. Just bring it all the way back. It's just, I don't know, this has not been, based on what they said in that statement at the end of last year and what we've seen so far, it just doesn't feel like they honored that part of the agreement. We let go of a bunch of players. Lukinius is gone, Yearwood's at Nashville, Barlow's in Chicago. We sent those guys for GAM. Omir, we just let him go as a free agent. We didn't those are three, four.
And he chose to play for Armas.
That's that. If that's not an indictment,
I was convinced Omir was leaving. I was convinced Omir was leaving and going to St. Louis to go play for Bradley Carnell.
I would understand, because they're right now a solid team.
Yeah, but
you went to Colorado to go play for Christopher Armas.
Dude has to run at altitude now. That's how badly he didn't want to be here.
Yeah, yeah, it's very strange. I don't know. I out of those four players alone, Lukinius, I take it or leave it. I wasn't actually that upset that he was gone. His highs were highs. The other times it just never felt like he was gonna do. He did much for us, except get us into the playoffs by falling down. Yearwood was just another one of those. The potential is there, or the potential was there, and it just never came to fruition. I jokingly said, when I saw him go to Nashville, I was Drew Yearwood is going to be my Brian White, in the sense that I want him to just do very well to prove a point. Omir hurt a lot. Omir sucks, because I really liked Omir. His bright moments were great, and he was always out there just fucking never stopping, just always kind of he never kind of laid off or showed signs of just not caring. He always put his whole fucking foot forward when it came to playing for us. So yeah, moves like that, it was weird. And then just to not make up for it with these kind of just very mediocre signings. Let's face it, Emil Forsberg is just a fucking, it's an accounting change for the organization, in the sense that his money, his salary is moves from one column to the other. And it's weird that they're trying to make it bigger than it seems. Do you guys understand? Do you guys like not? Do you guys feel that where like they're trying to like conflate it to like when we brought in Henri, and it's just no. That's not Emil Forsberg is not at the same level as when Henri came to us. Emil Forsberg is not the same caliber player that Henri is. Henri's one of the greatest players of all time, but like they're trying to do this thing where like it's just like, oh, this is really important, like this is a really big deal, and it's like
unless you're like a, you know, in this very specific bubble of just like sort of Red Bull soccer enthusiasts, I don't see why anyone would even know about Emil Forsberg, let alone care about him.
Yeah, like unless you like Red Bull or Bundesliga.
Right. Like, and then beyond that, like beyond like the sort of stature of the player, which I think is more questionable than the club would have you believe. I mean, there's also a lot of the so-called analysts around this league have made it about like the position that he plays as well, and making the point that we finally got the number 10 that we've been missing, for years and years now. And first of all, I don't think that that's where he typically played at Leipzig. And then second of all, there are so many other issues with this club that are way higher up than, an attacking midfielder. I don't think that bringing in, even if, bringing in a guy with, like, maybe a little bit better technical ability and a better eye for passing and possibly a little bit more, a little bit more clinical in front of goal, like, that's not going to change just, like, the kind of, deep-seated rot in this club that basically, pushed us away at the end of the season from doing this podcast, which I do like doing, and I want to be enthusiastic about soccer, but we're not at a point where I feel that way, and bringing in an attacking midfielder is not going to fix all of that. There are so many problems. Which again, to bring it full circle, like there's just like, lack of ball knowledge from people who are trying to make a big deal. I don't fucking care about Emil Forsberg.
Mm-hmm.
And then he scores this goal from his own side of the field.
I was going to bring that up
in preseason when like goalkeeper is having a walk and everyone's going at half effort. And nobody can even watch the game because it's only filmed on like some guy's drone or something. And also the game doesn't fucking count. And also the season hasn't started. And also we barely made the playoffs last year only because the field was expanded to like a ridiculous level. Like there's nothing to be optimistic about. And if this is what's being pushed as like the marquee signing, I've never even been the type of person who like kvetched too much about signings and whatnot, but after Schneider was again in that press release like making it clear that this transfer window is going to be different, it hasn't been.
And that goal, go ahead, Steve, sorry.
I think like the only thing that like I'm excited about with Forsberg is like it finally feels like we have an adult in the room. Like we've got a guy that is, over the age of 22.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of been around the block. He doesn't seem to be like he doesn't seem like he's going to phone it in. Like, I think he's kind of viewing this as like, I'm going to have fun and like go out there and like do my thing. But just having somebody out there that isn't, going to be scared when we go down by, two goals. I'll always go back to the semifinal in Orlando in the Open Cup when like, all right, we're up 1-0. And then now we're down 2-1 and everybody's slumped over.
Yeah.
And there's no leader on the field to be like, hey, fucking get your head back in the game. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually happy that they gave him the captain position. the captain's armband, because like, no, this isn't a slight on Sean Nealis, but he was not captain material.
And it was thrusted upon him. He wasn't.
And he you could tell just by interacting with him, like, he's not a guy that like is comfortable being that face. You know, he's a guy that wants to go out there and work and play and like help his teammates, but like, he's not a spokesman. He's not the guy that is going to like necessarily rally the troops, because he's just a guy that does his job.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think Forsberg, like, you know, this whole like signings need to move the needle. Like, we're not getting, you know, Henrik Lundqvist isn't getting a fucking suite at Red Bull Arena, and like all the Swedes are coming out now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's not how this is going to work. But compared to like, I actually think that they've tempered expectations with him compared to the hype that surrounded Lukinjas and Van Zier. Like, I feel like they were hyped up as like the saviors more than they've been doing with Forsberg. But that just may be me not really paying attention to social media as much.
No, I think that might be it, because they're making him seem like the same, if not more than those signings.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely feels like that. Like what Pat mentioned, the goal he did in preseason, that midfield goal, like, they then took that footage and like used it to be like buy tickets for our home opener kind of thing. It's just like,
yeah,
like stuff like that. It's just
I don't know. I just feel like I haven't seen, you know, the Twitter account and the Instagram account like showing the same hype video of him in Europe that they did. Like, I feel like I saw every single goal that Dante Van Zier scored.
You probably did.
USG, or like every, you know, ridiculous cut pass that Lukinjas had in Poland. Like, I feel like that was shoved down our throats way more. Like, the Forsberg thing's like, hey, we got a guy. He scored in preseason, but like, it doesn't feel like that same level of force.
I think in that case, they show less. They're doing less of the pass footage for Forsberg, just because I feel like he's more, again, like to what Pat was saying, he's more of a proven commodity within that, like the Red Bull soccer enthusiast space.
Yeah, like, he scored like two game winning goals in like Wednesday and Saturday at his last week at Leipzig.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he scored a Champions League winner and then like a Bundesliga winner, and then they were like, all right, he's going to New York,
he's leaving now.
Like, I have to go, my planet needs me.
Yeah, like in that sense, I think it's less that side where they're relying more on being like, hey, he played for Leipzig, that's the big team in our whole spiel, like that's like the head honcho. So him coming to us is like a blessing. Like, he's like, I, in that sense, I get what you're saying. In that they're pushing less of like his, the 200 plus games that he played for Leipzig in whatever content they release. But yeah, it's just, it's in this weird space, like where they're doing that. And it's just, I don't know. It just feels like they're, listen, I get it. They have to sell the club one way or the other. They have to sell tickets one way or the other, and they're going to do whatever they think works. But I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it is, or it's going to. I think should this season get off to a rocky start, and listen, the league as a whole, it just, who knows who's going to be good or bad this season, besides like Miami being like just the fucking league's darling. Beside them, I mean, we don't know what the rest of the league's gonna look like.
I mean, they have us as the sixth best odds to win MLS Cup, so like, who the fuck knows what's gonna happen?
That doesn't make any fucking sense to me. Sure, I should go, but okay. Yeah.
They have Colorado at plus 10,000, and they have us at plus 1,600
to win MLS Cup.
Yeah, and I feel like Colorado has made a lot more moves this winter.
They brought in Jordy Mihailović. They brought in Mihailović. They have Chris Armas. Yes.
Yeah.
But like they no, I mean, I remember when Mihailovic was rumored to come to us, and then it came out that it was like, no, we lost out on that to the Rapids, and we're just like, we lost to the fucking Rapids, we lost in a bidding war to the Colorado Rapids. Is that what's happening now? That was another thing that kind of pissed me off. Where it's just like, how are we losing? Like when you say stuff like make an investment and then lose out on players to like other MLS teams that are like not in the same, I mean, in the past, in the same sphere as us, that upset me. Like FC Dallas signing that Croatian striker from Benfica, like that to me is the picture perfect signing for a club in Harrison, New Jersey, a Croatian man who played for Benfica, and we lost. And I don't know if we were ever like looking to sign him, but like that just seems like me, like, you know, we need a striker, and that guy like checked boxes in whatever it, to me at least, in terms of like marketing, that it would be a slam dunk in this area. Like stuff like that is just like, what are you guys really doing? Like in terms of like, do you guys have scouting anymore? Like what are your scouts looking at? Who are like, what regions are your scouts looking at? Stuff like that is just like, it's strange. Oh, and by the way, I forgot to mention, we brought back Kyle Duncan. That's another indictment on the system as a whole. Kyle Duncan's loan ended, and we said, no, we're signing you. We're re-signing you.
I hope they only signed him for a year, and they're going to let him leave for a third time on a free so that we could pay another transfer fee to bring him back.
God.
Like, I remember when that happened. I want to know how much have we spent more money bringing Kyle Duncan home than they've spent bringing Matt Damon home in
movies. Oh my God. I remember when that was first announced, because that was around the time when like Lucchini went for, not Lucchini, sorry, that when like Barlow went for like the 300K to Chicago, and then Drew went to Nashville. I thought that was the next step, where like, oh, we're just signing him to a contract so then we can trade him for more GAM, because like we were just accruing as much GAM as possible to get, I guess, another player within the league or something. I don't know. And then now, no, he's just like, no, he's staying. And I'm just like, really? Are you... him? Why? But yeah, it's just, I don't know. This offseason has just not helped in my viewing and how I view the club.
Yeah, but Chris, I mean, we're getting Lewis Morgan and Serge Gomez back. Like, they're coming back from injury. That's like two new signings.
Yeah.
Fucking hate that phrase.
It's the worst. I
despise that mentality.
It's, yeah. We don't know what kind of Lewis Morgan we're gonna get back. I honestly have no expectations for when we're gonna get him back. Like he didn't play any preseason minutes, did he? He was mostly
ten.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't put too many eggs into the Lewis Morgan basket. I just feel like this injury that he has feels a little bit more convoluted than they're letting on. Cause it just, I don't know. I know the hip's fucking weird and but like, damn, it's really bad. So my expectations for Lewis Morgan are basically at near zero. Yeah. And then just like, on top of the Red Bulls just being weird, just the league in general is just in this weird fucking, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't around for the NASL, but just the it just feels like it's in this dark place. And I really feel like once Messi is gone, I feel like it could go bad depending on if they don't kind of like take preventative measures now before that happens. Because like yeah, it probably is. But like you're taking
there is no Messi to replace Messi.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you when Beckham came in, you know, then you had, you know, Henri came and like
Gerard came and
you know, you had these other bigger names, you know, Zlatan and all of this. But there is, what, you're going to fucking sign Mbappe? Like, LAFC is going to bring in Mbappe? Is that why they brought in Hugo Lloris?
Yeah, like Lewandowski. Even if Lewandowski were to come, that's not the same.
There's, like, you could bring in, you know, there's no one you can bring in that will get the same level of eyeballs as Messi.
Yeah.
And they're just putting all their eggs in that basket and like constantly making fans of every other team know that the league does not give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
That Apple will fucking send TV crews to
Saudi Hong Arabia Kong
and Saudi Arabia and you know, fucking Argentina, but sorry, your team's playing in California or Florida. You better hope somebody streams it on their Snapchat.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. And then, like, the stuff with the refs striking right now, the stuff with the Open Cup, just there was a tweet today where it's just like Garber talked about, like, how I got to pull up the tweet because it was Garber said something fucking stupid today. And then it's like, where is it? Oh, yeah. So Don Garber emphasizes the league's depth and quality beyond the star power of Messi. Quote, it's easy to and somewhat lazy for reporters to just write about Messi. There's so much more here that I think people need to recognize. And then someone retweeted and said, this is from at Fat7Deuce. It says, honestly, I'm with Garber on this. It's time to stop talking about Lionel Messi and talk more about pulling out of the U.S. Open Cup. The referee lockout. Kevin Wilkinson. That's that guy that Sporting Kansas City signed and that was embroiled in all the NWSL scandals. $200 jerseys, the disappearance of Bruce Arena, the playoff format, cutbacks of that MLS season pass, Merritt Paulson. Just like, yeah, like, I don't know. The league is just, I saw something where like there's more people outside of the U.S. that signed up for MLS League Pass, that currently signed up for MLS League Pass, just because of Messi. And so if that's the case, once Messi's gone, they're gone. And that leaves Apple with a product that they're probably not going to want much to do with if there's no star that they can hoist upon like every marketing material they have. So what then? They're looking to get like F1 rights. So that's another thing that might just push MLS further into like the shadows. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's weird. This is this weird period right now where, like, there's 30, what do we got? 32 teams? Are we still at 32? I don't even know.
We're at 29.
Or 29, okay. We're at 29 teams, and, like, 28 teams don't matter. There's when that happens, like, you're going to further push people that care about this league away, and then it's just, what, you're cooked in, like, 3-4 years.
And, like, this whole mentality of, like, oh, yeah, you know, people are coming to watch, you know, or are signing up to watch Messi, but then they could watch other games.
They all start at the same time. The games all start at the same time. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, like, what, you're going to watch a random West Coast game at 10:30 at night?
And if that's the case, and you want, if you're using Messi as a gate to other teams, you put your season opener with Messi as the focal point, or Miami's the focal point. You put them against Real Salt Lake on a Wednesday, and you expect people to care. And it's just like, you guys don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like, you guys are fucking idiots.
I didn't actually want to watch the game last night because AEW was on. But if I wanted to, I don't even know if they sent out the codes for season ticket holders to get.
Oh, I had to get the code because when I checked last night and I still had access. My access to MLS season pass ended, was supposed to end on Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 24th. So I had to go onto the Red Bulls website and there's like a link, there's like a thing you click and then it gives you the link that you put in to then get your free year. Yeah, I couldn't find it either. I was just like, does it just automatically apply or what? Yeah. But
no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's weird. I don't know. It's this weird place, and I just don't know. I wish I could speak to other. I don't have to speak to anyone because I can see it. I see it. I saw it a lot today where people were just like pissed off at the league, and it's just like, it's this weird fucking thing. All right, that was a weird not really a tangent because it's just apply. It also applies to us because we play in this league. I don't know. It's strange.
Well, at least they can keep adding teams.
Right. Yeah, true. That's totally going to help. I guess we can briefly touch on what's it called. We didn't even talk about go into depth about Sandro Schwartz, our new manager.
Oh God.
I mean,
who is this guy?
He's another German.
Yeah, he's another German. He managed Hertha Berlin and got them relegated. To which I'm sure the extremely Reddit answer is, well, yeah, fuck that team. Good on him. Just like how it was a good thing that Schneider got Schalke relegated. I don't fucking care at this point.
When it was first announced, I was like, I just wanted a change in terms of like who we had as our manager. Listen, Jesse Marsh was before he came to us was at a flailing expansion Montreal side. So like the whole thing about like results, like how a manager bounces back after a bad spell, that could be a good thing. But like, it just when they did the introduction video for him. And that press conference they had a few weeks ago, you close your eyes and you still hear fucking Gerhard Struber. And it's just like, it haunts me. It's like literally like PTSD, where it's just like, I hear he just doesn't say sexy. He just doesn't say sexy as much as Gerhard Struber did. But like, it's the same mannerisms. It's the same things he says. It just feels like more of the same. And again, we'll see the on-field product on Sunday. But it just feels like more of the same. Like it's always about to be about the intensity and the pressing and like there was like maybe one thing that he says that's like a little bit different from what Gerhard's like coaching mentality was.
He does seem to have a sort of different personality, which is not to say better. Like Struber was just like kind of outwardly a dick. Schwartz, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem like this guy has any personality whatsoever. He's like
the limited interaction that I've like had with him, he actually seems kind of like laid back, like okay. Just chill.
Laid back for a German is what, like in the most.
No, but like just a really like dumb example was during that press conference. Like in the middle of the press conference, all of a sudden you hear like the Zoom, like this meeting will be recorded.
Yeah.
And he's like, he stops and he's like, do we have to like leave and come back in and start over? And like, and then it's like the meeting recording has ended. He's like, oh, okay, we're done. And like pretends to get up. Like he's actually like, and when they had the party at South Street Seaport, like he was just kind of chilling, like okay. Just vibing. And it was nice, like, not for once having a coach that, like, didn't seem like he was looking for the exit. Like, to, like, run out of the room as fast as possible, like mm-hmm. Struber did when we had that, like, supporters thing last year.
Yeah, I remember that. I saw him for a brief second, and then I looked back, and then I looked towards where he was standing, he was gone. Like,
he was gone.
Like, just disappeared. Yeah. Well, that all right. So that's good to hear.
Another example of him being slightly different than Struber. I'm not going to say this guy's going to fucking do shit here. Like, fucking no. But his kid's already enrolled in school in New Jersey.
Like, okay. that is an improvement.
And he like he said he was like, you know, kindergarten was in Moscow, and then we were in Berlin, and like now we're in New Jersey.
Oh, like, all right.
So you know, I'm hopeful that like this will work. I'm not.
I'm not wishing ill or anything like that. Like
no,
But like, I don't know. We went from like one German fail son to another German fail son, and it's just
He does have a connection with Jurgen Klopp, so like they like there was a bit of an overlap at Mainz. So like, hey, if he's gonna play that same like intense style like that and like actually be animated and give a shit, like cool.
I just hope he's adapted. Like, you know what I mean? I just hope that this is not a manager in the same sense that like he's going to take what Red Bull like say like you should do and then be like okay and then just put that on the field. Like I hope he kind of has his own stylistic kind of like change to it, cuz I just want to see an evolution of it, cuz I feel like every not just here in the MLS but around the world, like that's just been caught up to. Like Klopp seems to have, I mean, Klopp has millions of like a war chest that he can go get players with, but like he still has like a good sense in terms of how to put his players out on the field. So that's the part I kind of hope that is different when you're comparing Struber with Schwartz. But yeah, so like thanks to Troy Lesane and also like damn you for going to DC. But you know, a gig's a gig, I guess. The other thing that I forgot that I was going to bring up from the statement, and not just from the statement, but just in terms of like interviews at the end of the season, was like when they let go of Dennis Hamlett, they're like, okay, we're going to bring in a new sporting director to replace him. And then at a certain point, that answer changed to like, oh, we don't need that position anymore. Like, I'm the head of sports, so that those, like, some of those responsibilities should fall on my shoulders. And then it changed again on February 2nd when we signed Julian de Guzman as our sporting director.
Yeah, it was very much like, didn't Jochen say something like, you know, the sporting director is in charge of the first team and I am in charge of the entire organization?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, then they bring in de Guzman, who has no experience
at
doing this in MLS. Yes. It was like, but he has no experience. He's like, yes, but the sporting director is there for everything, and I am here for the first team. It's like, wait, what? Like, did you just say the opposite?
Yeah, very, very confusing. Very, like, it's just another sign of an organization that doesn't quite know what they're doing at the moment. In multiple facets, but it's specifically like that is just like, what, huh? Like, yeah, okay, maybe you guys change your mind and you say you guys need a sporting director, but then like again, that's another instance of like him, like, what do you signed this guy that was last at Ottawa? He was like the general manager of the Ottawa Fury back in 2019.
And then he ran to amateur organizations in Canada.
Yeah.
Like literal, not even semi-pro.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, what, how did this even come to be? Like what? And then you find out how it came to be when you find out that like he was somehow connected to fucking Ralph Ragnick. And then it's just like, oh, got it. I understand now. Like it's just Ralph Ragnick's behind it all.
This entire organization is 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
But it's with Ralph.
It was Ralph. Like, yeah. It's like this guy, Ralph Ragnick hasn't been involved directly with the Red Bulls organization for what feels like now like 5 years, but he still has his fingers and like he's still like the puppet master in terms of like certain things. It's just like, whoa. He crossed paths with Julian de Guzman once somewhere and now he's set for life and can just get jobs anywhere. It's very strange, very weird.
I have to say, Schneider saying that there's no need for a sporting director because he's there is probably the only time I've ever agreed with him on anything.
We're like, I'm honestly, I mean, I, like, yeah, because it makes and
for the more seasoned among us who were watching soccer when there was not really such a thing as a sporting director, like, I mean, this is something that has only kind of existed in the past like 12-13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now Red Bull being, you know, the at the forefront of things, as they always are, have decided that you don't just need one, but you actually need two. And it's not totally clear where they overlap and whose job is specifically whose and who is above the other one. I mean, it's how things are now. Like every team has a sporting director. But
like they announced that the Friday where they had that press conference and then like they had the press conference, which was also kind of weird. And I don't know. It was just like, what is going on? Yeah.
It really is just like, you know, jobs for the boys.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I know all men are brothers, but let's give it a rest.
Let's can not for my club, please.
All men are my employees.
Yeah, that was another. That's just another strange thing in terms of just what a weird off season. I don't know. I tweeted like last Sunday where it's just like, on average, we bring in about every primary transfer window, we bring in about 10 players. That's since 2020. And I went back a few years just to see how we did like from like 2018 to 2019. And yeah, we usually bring in about 9 to 10 players every primary transfer window. Maybe that'll happen during the summer window, but like, then that just leads to fucking players that are just going to be like, oh no, we didn't have full preseason and this, that, and the other. And it's just like, I don't want to hear it.
It's the same cycle that we're always in, where it's like, of course we're not signing anybody in the winter because Europe doesn't sell anybody
exactly.
In the summer.
Exactly.
And then you get to the summer window and it's like, no, 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 they're going to sign somebody in the winter because, you know,
you need a full off season.
Need to acclimate.
Exactly.
Like, just wait. Bro, just wait until the winter. And then the winter, it's like, bro, the summer window.
It's just like the people that like want like one more lane on a highway, but it's just like one more transfer window, please. Just one more transfer window, please, please. It's gonna be great the next one. Trust. It's like, yeah, I don't know. But for them to go like that hard into the opposite direction where like they barely sign anyone in the winter window based compared to past years. Shows a weird like a sign of just like not being prepared. I don't know. In full transfer like for me, it just feels like Red Bull the corporation like the Red New York Red Bulls are one thing, and then you look at other parts of Red Bull the organization like in F1 their AlphaTauri their secondary racing team like has like changed their name to like RB Cash App something or another, and it just that just shows like a lack of just like they're losing their touch in terms of like marketing and how to like make things be cool. So that's one thing. Then you look at their primary team and their fucking head like what's it called? I guess the director is right now embroiled in a sexual harassment thing, and he's not going to step down. And based on what we know, they're not going to fire him until they literally see the texts. Like, and even then they probably won't. It's just there's rot in terms of the corporation, which then filters down into all aspects, including us. We saw it when the Van Zier shit happened. And now we're just seeing just other aspects of it, just like not being competent in what you're supposed to be doing. It's weird. It's, I don't know. Very strange stuff. Is there anything
else? Hey everybody, aren't you glad we're back to like get you pumped?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Just
like raring to go.
We're so fucking pumped for this season to start. You have no idea. I mean, let's get into it. Let's get into our season opener against Nashville SC. That's enough negative Nancy talk. Guys, let's get into it. Nashville SC, they are a soccer club. They are a soccer team. Last season, they finished in seventh in the Eastern Conference, 12th overall. They were the team that helped us get into the playoff. Well, they didn't help us. We somehow willed it to be. they got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs to Orlando City. They were the runners up in the League's Cup. I didn't know that. But yeah, their team still managed by Gary Smith. I consider them one of the more solid clubs in the Eastern Conference and the league overall. They picked up Drew Yearwood from us. They still have Sean Davis. Is Dax McCarty still playing for them? I think he got traded.
Dax signed with Atlanta.
Oh, right. Yeah. They just played a CCL game. Was it tonight or last? I think it was tonight. Yeah. They just signed, beat, Mocha FC from the Dominican Republic.
That thing still exists?
What?
CCL?
Oh, sorry. The CONCACAF. CCC. The CONCACAF Champions Club. they beat them 3-0. Goals from Hany Mukhtar, Sam Surridge, Tyler Boyd. Hany Mukhtar is still there. Anibal Godoy is still there. It's got Tyler Boyd, I think, from the Galaxy, and he scored a goal tonight. So this is a team that played a game not even midweek, late week, and now going into Sunday. That's a game on the road. We play them on Sunday. How are you guys feeling about our home? Why do I keep saying home opener? Season opener against Nashville.
Not great, Bob.
Not great. We said we were going to be positive after, spending the last 45 minutes. No, I'm joking. Yeah, I think the only thing that could that'll help us get a result is honestly them playing tonight. And even then, I don't think they had to put much effort into tonight, given that badly. Clubs from the Dominican Republic are not the strongest yet. Yeah, but like I think Mukhtar got subbed out pretty early, so he'll probably be ready for the game on Sunday. We still don't know like what our defense is going to look like. People are saying that we might be going like three in the back. Like, there's a bunch of question marks about like how we're going to look defensively. Honestly, our fucking strikers are still suspect, given that it's still Elias Manuel and Dante Van Zier. It'll just come down to hoping that Nashville is going into this game tired and us taking advantage of that. But it's going to be sloppy early season MLS soccer. So it's not going to be good.
Yeah, like remember 2021 when we won in San Jose and Toronto and outscored them like 7-1. It was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I do remember that. Where Lewis Morgan like scored like a hat trick or brace in like 2 minutes or some shit like that.
Yeah, something like that.
If that happens, hey, great. But like, I don't know. I think there's so many question marks. Like, new manager. I mean, not really a lot of new players. Like, we know the players, and we can't say we're extremely pleased by some of the ones that stayed. So it just comes down to like who's gonna come out more with less off-season rust, and I don't know if that's gonna be us. I think this game's gonna end like honestly, I would not be surprised. It's a Gary Smith team. I would not be surprised if it ends 0-0. Honestly, our strikers early in the season, a Nashville that has now played like a competitive game.
I mean the like 6 minutes of preseason that we were allowed to watch, if we were able to access our old MySpace account.
Yeah,
we did not look very good.
I didn't watch it. I didn't even
at least watch. Like I legitimately slept through the two preseason games that were like on that were on YouTube.
Really?
Like, we put them on and I passed out because like we were fucking doing nothing.
Yeah,
but according to everybody on Discord, like we our offense still looks like shit. So, you know.
Awesome.
Sunrise, sunset.
Yeah. That's very strange. I don't know, man. I was listening to View from 202, and like their episode, not this one from this week, but the one prior, it was very much in the vein of how we're talking right now. But like their thinking was along the lines of what I was thinking, which is like, this team could probably still finish fifth given the state of the league, because the rest of the league also is just awful. We can probably finish, maybe if we have a good season, we can finish top four in the East, not in general. I don't think we're sniffing the Shield. But like, it comes down to like players being fucking up for it. I don't know. It just feels like we didn't do enough turnover to like, usually when like we bring in new players, they come in with an energy and an excitement to be like, hey, we can do this. And like, I don't think there was enough to introduce that. And I think it's going to be more of the same. At least early on, unless we do get good results at the start. Oh, I'm feeling.
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of the mood last season as well, where it's like, you know, even understanding that like the squad has a lot of you know, missing pieces, you know, like this league sucks and the East is terrible. The East is especially terrible. With a sort of competent manager and a consistent, just a level of consistency among the players. Finishing like third or fourth shouldn't be too much of an ask. But then you look, and I don't know, it's the same squad as it was last year for the most part, minus again the, you know, some of the more mercurial, for better or for worse, pieces that we lost.
Yeah.
I don't see. I'm completely blackpilled. I don't know. Like I've been. I don't see any reason to be excited for the season. If they get to a point where it's like, you know, mid May into June and we're looking good, then I'll happily eat my words. But I don't see how a team who's like main guy up until Forsberg came in was like John Tolkien. I don't see how that team is going to, like, again, as you said, like even sniff the Shield or sniff any trophy this year. Especially since there might be one fewer to win to start with. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. I guess I'll be interested to see just like how Schwartz even sets up his team. Cause I don't know anything about how, like what Schwartz teams were like in Europe.
I don't have enough mental care to go.
I have no clue. We only had a whole off season to do research on.
I am not looking up like results and statistics from the fucking Russian Premier League. No,
I'm good. I'll pass on that. Yeah, no. God. The way we're talking about this club just feels like it's just like, I'd rather just do like fucking like ketamine or something. Like, just like, oh, God. It's just fucking, I don't know. Corey Burke is still on. I'm looking at our roster and I'm like, realize Corey Burke is still here. And it's like, we haven't seen him since like June. And it's like, is he? Good.
What's really just insane is we're reaching the point where Bento Estrella is becoming like one of the longest tenured players
on
this team.
Has he had any minutes for the first team?
No. No. None. Nothing. He got signed like what, like 3-4 years ago? I don't even remember at this point.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, nothing. He's got a number. He's number 91, but like,
find him in 2021.
Yeah. Insane.
Wow. Yeah, it's just, what can you
do? Like him and Ryan Mira, like 10 years from now, will continue to have 0 minutes for the first team and still be on the roster.
Listen, man. Kudos to Ryan Mira, man. There was this thing, I think I heard it was the kid Mira was talking about, like, dude, being a backup quarterback is probably the best job in the world, where you're just like there with a clipboard just watching football just fucking 16 weeks out of the year from field level. Just like, yeah, this is cool. Third string is probably better because like there's less of a chance that like if the starting quarterback gets hurt, like you have to go in.
You don't even have to put on pads.
Yeah,
like,
no,
you just watch the game in sweatpants.
Yeah, exactly. So like Mira's just there just in case, but like Carno's solid enough that like we haven't had to have like a switch. So like he's just good. He's just watching the game.
Ryan Mira gets paid 6 figures a year to like warm up and then
live
in his hometown bar.
Exactly.
Like, guy has the greatest union gig, and I love the man. That's like, he's amazing. So nice. If he doesn't have that hip injury in his rookie season, like, he's already the longest tenured captain in club history.
What a king.
I hate the shit that people give him for being, like, injury prone. But like when he's on, he's on.
Yeah, like his when he makes like cup appearances, he hasn't really let us down. So like,
yeah,
get off my man Ryan Mira's back. If there's anyone out there,
the book this guy can write on like stories that he knows. There's one player still on the team from the Jesse Marsh era, and it's Ryan Mira. Yeah. There's one player still on the team from the Mike Petke era, and it's Ryan Mira. And there's one man still on the team from the Hans Bacher era, and it's Ryan Mira.
And there's also a man from the Patrick Vieira era at NYC, and that's Ryan Mira.
It's Ryan Mira.
he's been on both sides. What,
didn't he play for Christ?
Oh, it was Christ. You're right.
Yeah.
Man, what a... Honestly, I'd read a book by Ryan Mira.
I gotta go back and look to see how many teams were in MLS when Ryan Mira first started playing, because the man has been here longer than probably half the league has.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, oh man.
Like I hope like he has conversations with like new players. And like they don't believe him when he's like, no, like we played Chivas twice a year.
Yeah, man. Like, we used to play on this thing called Fox Soccer Channel. Like, like fucking respect where we've come from, son of a bitch. Yeah. Do you guys want to give scores predictions for National?
Oh God.
I'm sticking with 0-0. That's my prediction.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take that.
1-0 loss.
1-0 loss. Okay. Before we get to our question time, oh my God, I just flashbanged myself with this fucking background. Let's do some predictions for the season. And then, you know, when we record the episode at the end of the year that we will totally record. Prediction, will we record from week one to the end of the season?
Let's
our first prediction of the day. How many? This is episode 129.
How many over under?
Will we get if there's how many weeks are there? The season will end by like October.
Over under 150, I think, would be a good bet.
Over under 150. Yeah, that's a good number. Yeah. All right. Off the perch. Over under 150, Steve.
I'm gonna go over.
You're gonna go over?
Yeah. Pat?
Over.
All right.
Wait, hang on. Under.
You're going under?
Yeah.
Is there an event you think that will occur that will cause you to just be like, fuck this?
I was thinking about that possibly. But also the fact that I mean sometimes even when things are not terrible,
we still like, just like no.
We're not bothered, or just even just like I mean, two kind of match weeks get rolled into one. And we don't record during breaks. And I don't know. I don't think we'll put out 21 episodes this year.
I'm gonna say we're gonna get over 150.
I have a question for the listeners that they can submit their answers for the next time we record.
Yes.
Like, you know how they do like the baby pool where like everybody in the office guesses and like whoever's closest to like the due date wins.
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to pick one calendar date that they think the last episode will be recorded before we just abandon the season again.
I love that we can talk about ourselves like this. This is good.
Yeah. Like, fuck it. If you can't laugh at yourself, like, what are you doing?
It's a nice little wrench that was... Well, maybe... you know what? Well, I don't know. Everyone knows that Messi is not going to be at the Miami game.
No,
this year.
He's going to be playing in Philly the night
he's
going
to be playing. Right, yeah.
What do you mean? He's totally playing. Don't he's blow up playing. Our spot. Yeah. We're trying to make money here. No, I'm joking.
I just cut that out.
Yeah, no, he's probably... He's...
And it's way too early in the season, I think. Isn't it in March or something?
It's March, yeah.
Yeah, it's his second home game.
Yeah, it's the second home game.
Yeah. Red Bull just
kicked the dirt when they found out that winter package that they announced that was like, we don't have to honor it if we start the season with against Messi. They're like, damn, we're one off. All right, so the first prediction is where do you think we're going to end up? What place in the East by the end of the season?
Eighth.
Steve.
I think seventh.
Seventh. I'm gonna go with seventh too. I think we're not gonna be. I mean, again, this is a new manager, we can't be. The start to last season was just so bad, and Troy really did get us out of a fucking real bad hole. So I just don't think we can recreate the just how bad we were last season. Now I'll go sixth. I'm gonna go sixth. I think we'll finish in sixth place. So if we'll finish in a playoff spot. So what is your prediction as to where we will finish in the MLS Cup playoffs? Will we win it? What if we don't? What round will we get eliminated in?
What do we even know what the format is yet?
They're sticking to the same format as last year. So best of three for the first round, and then I think after that it's best of ones.
We're gonna win the first game in the first round, like 4-0, and then. Lose on penalties after consecutive nil-nil draws and get knocked out
first round.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like one of the only ways we haven't gotten knocked out of the playoffs. Like, we have to, like, we're running out of ways.
I just remember last season when, like, since he beat us the first game, I think it was like, was it 4-0 or 5-0?
It was like, yeah, it was something ridiculous.
Something bad. And I was just like, you guys can keep scoring if y'all want. Like, tire yourselves out. Like, it literally, at the end of the day, it's literally a 1-0 win. Like, the amount of goals you score don't matter.
Yeah, there was like a Cincinnati fan, I don't remember where, on social media that was like, you pissed off, you lost to us. I was like, dude, this is a rebound. We did this last year. Like, I've seen this episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you're nothing special. We lose every year.
Cincy fans really showed how utterly insane they were last season. When it came to Amaya, I've never seen a fan base hate a player that much that did so little to offend them. He left. He just wanted to go somewhere else. And that apparently was like him saying like that their mothers were whores, and like he printed that in like every newspaper in Cincinnati, and then like said like Skyline Chili is an affront to like humanity. But no, he just left. But they hate him, and it's very funny how much they hate him. So I'm looking forward to Cincy the week we play Cincy, because like I just want to see unhinged Cincy tweets, because they are, man, they really makes them mad.
My favorite My favorite thing about Cincinnati fans is that, like, they could be playing, you know, someone from the West Coast, like they're playing like San Jose, and half of the tweets from their fans are complaining about us.
What?
Like we're not even playing that week. Like we're the odd team out, and like
We're on a bye
Cincinnati's
week. What the
winning
fuck?
like they're winning like 6-0 against San Jose. They're like, yeah, 6-0. But like, if we were playing Red Bulls, there'd be six players rolling on the field. It's like, fucking enjoy your win. Like they won the Shield
They
and
won
were
the sh
like
They were
running their
furious.
mouths about us,
They
and
were
it's like,
furious.
you won a trophy. Like,
I would have made my.
enjoy that.
We played them the week after they won the Shield, and I would have made, if I had any control over the Red Bulls, I would have made them do a Guard of Honor. And, like, they still were mad. And it's just like, y'all just won.
Yeah.
Y'all, by, like, by a decisive amount. Like, relax.
It's that I live in a flyover state mentality.
I don't even know what it's. There has to be something in the chili, man. And my body resisted it when I had it those years ago. My MLS Cup playoff prediction. I think we make it to at least a best of one round. So we'll win the first round.
And then go to Philly and lose again.
Yeah, yes, exactly. As per tradition.
Yes.
Yeah. Next prediction. So, Team Golden Boot, but different. You can if you have one of the our current strikers as a Team Golden Boot, pick them. But I thought you want to do Team Golden Boot, one of our current strikers or the field, as in like we sign a striker in the summer and they
Yes. Yes.
over.
Is the Golden Boot winner currently on the roster?
Yes, exactly. You're saying yeah, he's not. What is your prediction?
I'm saying he's not.
And he's not. So Venzier, Manuel, Corey Burke, none of them are going to be the Golden Boot by the end of the year.
Think Serge Ngoma has a better shot than any of them.
I mean, based on what we saw of that one Austin game,
Yeah.
yeah, he has a better conversion rate than pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think our team Golden Boot's on the team yet. Listen. No, I'm not going to hand it to
When was
him.
the last time we had a striker be our top goal scorer?
Oh my
Because it was
God.
Omir last year, it was Lewis Morgan the year before that, and then like I just black out from there.
A very good question.
Like, was it Bradley Wright Phillips? Like, am I gonna like absolutely want to cry right now?
It might be. It
Oh,
honestly
Jesus
might
Christ.
be. Honestly.
Holy shit.
Let's see. Brian White in 2020.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh no, Patrick Kamala in 2021. 8 goals. So it hasn't been that long, but also it's been
So
pretty.
Bradley's probably the last player we've had that scored double-digit goals in a season.
Last striker, because
I pulled up,
yeah.
yeah, right, last striker, because I pulled up 2019
That was
and
Royer.
Royer, yeah.
Yeah, Bradley Wright Phillips was the last striker, and that was in 2018 with 24 goals total in all
Jesus
competitions, 20
Christ.
goals in the league. God,
Have we
imagine a
had
striker. Imagine a
24
strike.
goals? Have our strikers since then combined for 24 goals?
Oh, God.
Fuck.
Oh, my
It's just
God.
embarrassing.
It's not good. It's not good.
This is why no one can touch us on social media, on Twitter or anything,
You
because
cannot
like,
immolate the self-immolators.
no,
You can
no.
never do it. Yeah. Jesus Christ. That made me very sad. Moving on to the next prediction. The Open Cup. Is it happening? Yes or no? If it is happening, are we one of the 8 teams that will participate? And if so, where do we finish? So it's a
We
3-part
better be one
question.
of the 8 fucking teams. Like, if this is like
Honestly, you just know, make it the old teams. Like, just like make it all the fucking 96 teams. Honestly, if that's if it's gonna get to that point, just make it the 96 teams.
Fuck it. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, none of us are gonna be any good. Like, you think DC or New England's doing shit this year? You think like fucking Colorado and LA Galaxy are gonna qualify for shit? Like, no. Like, let us have this. Throw us a bone. Like, don't even call it the Open Cup. Call it the 1.0 Cup. Like, let us feel good about ourselves. We'll even play it at Mitchell Field. Like, we'll go so old school.
Pat, we didn't even get your prediction for the striker thing. I'm sorry. What was your prediction? Did you say the field or one of our current strikers?
Current strikers.
We'll finish with more goals. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So then now you Open Cup. Yeah, I mean, will the Open Cup happen? I think it'll in some way it will happen. It's not going to be the way the majority of people want it to happen because this league is a fuck. Will we be in it? Probably not. They'll probably just want like Messi eight times. They'll just want Messi to play like eight Open Cup teams. So it'll just be Miami eight times. I don't know. This is another one of those things where the league is just.
If it's something like everybody who qualified for CCCCCC, whatever the fuck, however many C's there are, if it's like they don't play, and it goes to like the next eight highest ranked teams, I think we're in there.
Okay. Great.
Because there's like nine MLS teams that fucking need
there's
Champions
so many.
Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you want to bitch about schedule congestion? You created Leagues Cup, and now like literally half the fucking or a third of your teams qualify for the Continental Tournament. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But that actually just reminded me, I'm going to say this now because what? I know Don Garber listens to this podcast, but mm-hmm. I have a way to, fix the schedule congestion, and I'm kind of going to borrow an idea from the NBA. So they did that like in season tournament this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
But those games counted towards the regular season.
Yes, they did.
So
you want the Leagues Cup to be one, but then the League
you
MX
do the
teams.
The games not against Mexican teams are just your league game.
Okay.
Like, if you're already dividing it by, like, regional, you're going to play home and away against everybody in your conference. Why not use one of those games to double as Leagues Cup? And now you don't have to worry about opening stadiums for 2,000 people to show up for a Tuesday night against Charlotte. Like, just make that when you play Charlotte at home in April, it doubles as your League's Cup game against them. And then you just have to add your game against a Mexican side.
I don't know what the League's Cup is. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, that too.
I was going to joke because like Fernando in that Discord also said like League's Cup prediction. And I had it and then I literally crossed it out and said not real, and then moved on. But if there was something called the League's Cup, that would be a good way to just fucking reduce the number of games and actually also maybe add stakes to regular season games. But like,
yeah. Literally a 6-point game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
another thing, they would have to paint the grass like a different color. Because remember during the NBA in-season tournament games, like they had like a different court that hurt people's eyeballs? Do that. Just like the Boise State blue like field that they have for like their college football team, just do whatever color. Like, imagine Red Bull Arena with a red
field. Oh my god, yes.
That would be an assault to the eyeballs. I don't know. the Open Cup, I hope it does happen. Who knows? This league is just actively trying to end itself. That's it for the predictions. Now we go on to question time, the first question time of the season. I haven't sung the song in 7 months. Question time. I sing this song to introduce the questions that we get. We only got one this week. We got one question this week. I understand. We've been gone for we were like an absent father. We just disappeared. We went out for milk and just never came back.
Look, we went out to go try to find Jesse Marsh.
Jesse Marsh is currently shitting on old players on radio shows with Tony Meola. It's very strange.
Yeah, he's getting paid by Leeds and just covering Champions League games for CBS. It's awesome.
Okay. So yeah, our one question this week is from Pierre Delecto. He says, "Ah shit, do I still have a chance? Okay, good. With the absolute train wreck of Johnny Bootlegger this year, how does one up the ante for a fruitful and probably ennui-inducing 2024? I'm thinking wine aunt style with sparkling rosé, or what would be a new drink of choice? What the hell is wine aunt style?"
Okay, so I may have found a style.
I was going to ask you, Steve, because you were the one that found Johnny Bootlegger. So it's what's you have your ear to the ground on, yes, on just
shit. No, there is something. I gotta when I go downstairs, I'll it should still be in the fridge. I'll take a picture of it and tweet it.
Yeah,
it is absolutely horrendous. It's in a plastic bottle. It is as bad as it can get. But that is where it's at.
Right now, Pierre, when Pierre listens to this, he's just in a plastic bottle, you said.
Yes, exactly. Plastic bottle. You could get it in the stadium.
Oh my God. Just hope that they don't put aluminum in the bottle cap to throw off the fucking metal detector. For my genuine answer, and my friend put me onto this, guys, and this is it's very much coincidental that I'm saying this after we picked up a Soju sponsorship, but Soju, whatever flavor you want,
that at the tailgate.
Wonderful news. Soju, Country Time Pink Lemonade. Just mix, throw some spoonful of that in there, and then Brisk Pink Lemonade to top it off. Throw that in a tumbler and just drink that. I was put onto that, and that shit is good as fuck. So that's my suggestion for the season. Soju.
So I mean, Soju is kind of like Johnny Bootlegger, if Johnny Bootlegger were actually drinkable,
refined,
and weren't just like liquefied sugar, that look, is if, also if, like 30% alcohol.
If Mr. Bootlegger had just quit while he was ahead with the Sing Sing grape, it would be fine because that is the only flavor that is palatable.
But he flew too close to the sun, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Johnny Icarus Bootlegger.
The other flavors exist for after you have drank everything else there is to drink and you are so wasted, they taste amazing. But when it's the first thing you're drinking, it's the worst idea in the world.
Yeah, you can't do that to yourself. Again, Pierre's listening to this and be like, I disagree.
Yeah.
Pat, what about you? What is your drink choice of the season going to be? I'm assuming you're going to say just a nice beer.
Yeah, as you guys know, I don't really do mixed drinks.
Yeah,
because I'm too insecure about my masculinity.
What about wine? You've been...
I'm big on wine now.
Listen, I might join you on the wine train. I always try to, and then I kind of forget about it.
Because beer is unhealthy. That's what it is.
But Are you drinking like, does is there a Bud Light wine? Like Bud Light Lime? Like, is that what's going on?
I was thinking about it a couple of weeks ago. You know what? I have not had a Bud Light Lime in way too long.
I was thinking about you this week.
That's kind of indicative of just like how far away we are from when going to Red Bulls games was fun. Because that to me is like my Bud Light Lime era is kind of synonymous with when, you know, you
prosperity.
Yeah, prosperity. You go to RBA, watch them pummel some Western Conference team by 4 or 5 goals, and then you go home. I mean, I'm not superstitious enough to think that had anything to do with it.
No, but, no.
Like, yeah, as sort of like a chronological marker in my life, like those two things are like parallel. And
yeah,
the fact that I have not had a Bud Light Lime in such a long time again is like, it shows how far removed we are from those days.
You see what you've done to us, Red Bulls? God damn it. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about Pat earlier this week when I was buying the tickets for Houston away, and that time that I made you drink Bud Light Orange.
That was. I'm sure we've told the story on here before, but
yeah.
To recap, I mean, but that was a little bit like Johnny Bootlegger in a way, because again, it was just like I was not expecting to be overwhelmed by how much sugar there was in it. It was like drinking orange soda.
Oh my god!
Except with like an undertow of beer flavor. See, Bud Light Lime is nice because it's beer and then it's got like
a hint
of lime.
Yes.
Bud Light
yes.
Orange, which you and Larissa forced me to drink.
It's alcoholic
against my will.
It's alcoholic Fanta. Kind of.
It's a good thing that didn't stick around.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. Yeah, oh. I don't know if I end up going to a game at all this year, I might just show up with like a bottle of Josh.
Josh, yes, a bottle of Josh, good stuff. So yeah, thank you for the question, Pierre.
Josh Bootlegger. Oh my God, what if you mix them?
Oh shit! All right. Well,
yeah, yeah. I was gonna say we need to test out when we play Chicago. Does Johnny Bootlegger get rid of the aftertaste of Malort?
Oh,
yeah.
God. Oh, no. My stomach just turned.
Do like Johnny Bootlegger and Malort, and then Johnny Bootlegger and Josh, and then Malort and Josh.
What are we doing right now? We're introducing concepts in this world that don't need to exist. Oh, God. Thank you for the question, Pierre. It's your fault we've now thought of mixing Malort and Johnny Bootlegger, and the world is worse off for it. That's going to do it for us this week, I think. There's nothing else to cover. We covered basically everything from the past 7 months. Now it's just on to the games. Again, we'll see what happens this season. Could we be good? Could we be decent? Maybe. Are we probably gonna be mediocre? That's the highest chance, is that we're just gonna stay in this until further, I guess, change happen. I don't know. We'll see. I'm trying to this is the time of year when I'm like, let's not go straight into like direness so soon. But then it's like, why not? It hasn't helped. So we will be, who do we play next? Well, we're home opener's March 9th. So who do we play next week?
Houston
Dynamo, March 2nd. So yeah, we'll be back next week to talk about the result of the Nashville game, and then offer our thoughts and predictions for the game against Houston. And then onward we go. Listening, sorry we've been gone for so long. Again, the goal is over 150, and I'm sticking to it. narrator voice, they did not stick to it.
Yes.
No, I'm joking. All right, guys. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Peace.